Into the third hour. Thanks for being with us. Vince, Vinny, and Clay here on the Morning Tailgate, Raider Nation Radio. Make sure you download the free LV Sports Network app. Streaming clearly, iPhone, Android, and a link to our podcast. Let's go behind enemy lines before we get any further with Bobby Rosinski, the great host with the wildly popular Rush 730 on ESPN Charlotte 730 The Game. Also 97.5, he's here with us now. Bobby, thank you so much for being with us. Good morning to you. Listen, all right, so it's been a crazy week for you in Charlotte, and hearing some of the shows, you guys are getting involved in these topics, and it's going back and forth since the benching of Bryce Young. Andy Dalton supplanted it, is now the new starter. What was the talk for you when everyone starts coming into a combination debate of like, well, maybe if it was C.J. Stroud instead of Bryce Young, would things be different? What have you been able to kind of glean from all that?
Yeah, it's been no doubt an interesting few days here in Charlotte. And I'll say here, locally, there's not like this outpouring of anger that Bryce Young has been benched. If anybody watched the first two games this season, it was bad. And yeah, look, C.J. Stroud, when you're sitting there on Sunday Night Football and you're watching the Bears and the Texans, and was it, you know, the greatest played game that we've seen? No, but you're looking at Chicago, who has all these players from the trade we made to get Bryce Young, sure, and C.J. Stroud, the player we didn't draft. It's a tough look, and this organization deserves a lot of heat that it has. But one thing that has frustrated me is, well, if C.J. Stroud was here, I heard people saying if Pat Mahomes had come here, this team wouldn't win five games. Like, get out of here with that kind of talk. I mean, the Panthers have their problems. Did they manage everything poorly last season? Was Bryce Young set up to not have a good rookie year? Yes, 100%. But I think this offseason, the Panthers actually did a decent job. Now, defensively, I don't think they were going to be very good, but there was one goal that we talked about here of 2024 for the Panthers: figure out whether Bryce Young was going to be a good quarterback or not. They went out and got Deontay Johnson. They spent $150 million on two interior guards to beef up the O-line. If you actually look, you know, Pro Football Focus and take those numbers for what you're worth, but the O-line's been fine through the first 2 weeks of this season. So there are guys that are okay to be successful, and Bryce is just, honestly, these first two games has been the worst he has looked in his NFL career. And for Dave Gowsch, you got a locker room. If you guys saw last Sunday, you saw Adam Thielen throwing down his helmet. I mean, you were going to lose this football team. So, you know, it's unfortunate for Bryce. There's nothing bad you can say about the guy as an individual or anything, but it wasn't working here. And part of that's on him. Part of that's on the team. I get it. But the Panthers had to make a choice, and I think they made the right one.
You just said something that caught my attention. It wasn't working here. It's almost as if you're talking about it in past tense. And I don't want to put you on the spot, because I don't think you believe, and I don't think I believe, that the Carolina Panthers have just said it wasn't working, and eventually we're going to move on from Bryce Young, and this is just the first step in that journey. So the question to you is, is this the first step maybe in that journey or in that end game, or is this just kind of pushing the pause button, maybe helping save him from himself and just gather his thoughts and, you know, remove him from the spotlight and maybe allow him to reset so that he'll live to see better days with the Carolina Panthers?
That would be the dream scenario, but I can't say sitting here personally I believe that. I think the tenure of Bryce Young as the quarterback of the Carolina Panthers came to an end Monday at 1:45 or so when that was tweeted out. Because you listen to Dave Canales this week, there was no talk of, well, we're going to let Bryce sit and learn and, you know, we'll get him back out there later on this season. That wasn't thrown out there. I don't think this football team is looking to go down that path. I mean, you had Dave Canales yesterday talking about how, and he uses the word absolute gift all the time. You hear that from Dave Canales, but you know, that it was a great day for Bryce running the scout team. You know, he was playing Gardner Minshew, I think, yesterday for the Panthers in practice. That's where things are for this football team. And I go back to the first answer I was telling you guys, this year was about figuring out Bryce Young.
Yeah.
How do you play Andy Dalton, I don't know, say 10 games into the middle of November, and then Bryce comes out, and you know, maybe it's not as bad as the first 2 weeks, but is it like it was last year? Well, then are you going into 2025? Are you going, well, we got to go with Bryce again? I don't think as an organization they can do that. But a lot of people are looking, hey, this is two games. No, this is 18 games that Bryce Young was the quarterback for the Carolina. He didn't play one game last year. And if you go look at that one game, which happened to be week three out west, the Panthers were in Seattle, and Andy Dalton threw for like 350 yards in that game. So I think there's plenty – that this organization can look at and see. So, I mean, the right words can be said by the organization, but personally, I would be surprised if we look and we see Bryce Young as the quarterback of this team.
I'm not trying
to, or an injury with Dalton.
And I'm not trying to compare Bryce to, like, let's just say Baker Mayfield, and who Carolina kicked to the curb, and I would think maybe regrets that a little bit now in retrospect. But is there any cause for pause in terms of, you know, how fast you are, how fast they might be on pulling on the trigger here when they did the same thing? Not, it's a different situation. I get that. But they did give up on Baker Mayfield, and they did give him away for a song and a dance. And now he's, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in that division who you got to face now twice a year in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No lesson learned from that at all?
Yeah, and you look at Baker, and I, you know, people brought up Baker from his rookie year in Cleveland. Now, his rookie year in Cleveland, he did like 28 touchdowns, and there was good numbers. So Baker's always shown more than Bryce Young. And this is where blame of the organization to me is well-deserved. I mean, they've mismanaged things since Matt Rhule was hired. And actually, I tweeted it out today. Matt Rhule's first game was against the Raiders. They came to Charlotte the COVID year 2020.
Yeah,
it was a high-scoring game, 34-30. Raiders won, but Teddy Bridgewater was the quarterback then. Well, they blamed Teddy for that season going off the rails. Then Sam Darnold came in as quarterback, and we know what Sam's done his first two games up in Minnesota. And that's where I really think the mistake was made by this team. You could have kept Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. You could have hired Steve Wilks as head coach. And do I think Sam's going to be a top 10 quarterback? No, but can you win games? Can you be a solid football team with that? 100% you could. You know, Baker came in, the attitude was there. Unfortunately for Baker, he just arrived here, and it was the Matt Rhule end of his tenure
right, as
the head coach of this football team. So that was poor timing. If you could do it back, I think you'd love to keep Baker. I think you'd love to keep Sam if you could, and you could have been a decent, respectable football team. But the, you know, for David Tepper, look, he's not been a good owner. I don't think that's a shocking statement for anybody here or for watching this football team. They're always trying to find the next thing, and that's where they went after Bryce. Like, all right, we tried to get the veteran rambling quarterback. Now let's go get this young guy that's going to be our guy for the next 10 to 15 years. And, you know, they did give him 18 games, and it just hasn't worked out. But let's be honest, it is rough when you watch Baker Mayfield being 2-0, and he's making comments yesterday about telling Bryce to keep his head up.
Yep.
So, Bobby, talk to me. We're looking ahead to Sunday, the Raiders home opener. There's a lot of excitement around the silver and black and you know, not just maybe getting a win, but doing it in a convincing fashion. I want to ask you, behind enemy lines, finish this sentence for me. The Carolina Panthers win in Las Vegas if what?
If Andy Dalton plays like a capable quarterback and can get the Carolina Panthers going in this game. I don't want to say an opening drive will say everything, but this is a Panther team that has, let's see, week one against the Saints, it was an interception on the first pass. Last week against the Chargers, they went 3 and out. Meanwhile, the opposition went down the field and scored touchdowns both drives. So this opening drive, whether it's the Panther offense or defense on the field, is going to be big. And look, I watched that Raider game against the Ravens. That was an impressive performance, especially in the fourth quarter, for them to come and get that victory. I think for Carolina, it's going to be trying to get the run game going. That was something Dave Canales wanted to see at the start of the season. Was this team able to run the football? That hasn't really happened through the first 2 weeks. But also, if I'm an opposing defense, I wasn't worried about Bryce Young throwing the football downfield. Deontay Johnson, the big acquisition in the offseason from the Steelers, under 20 yards receiving in the first two games of the season. You got to think they're going to be looking to make plays downfield with him and Adam Thielen as well. Actually, I think the Panther offense can be okay. It's the defense and what the Raiders possess, obviously, at the wide receiver core with Devontae Adams, and we've seen what Brock Bowers has done. Panther defense doesn't have much. I mean, really, J.C. Horn is probably it at corner, and there's not much else happening there for the Panthers.
Well, we were kind of wondering about, you know, as we watched Bryce over the past year and a half, last year and last two games, was the offensive line ever an issue? Because we think that Andy Dalton can go and connect with those weapons on offense, but was there ever a problem with the offensive line that he wasn't getting enough time to throw, or perhaps they weren't getting off the ball to allow that run game to go?
The offensive line was terrible last year. There's no question about that. Now, it is much improved this season.
Okay.
The major issue for the Panthers last year was Ike Ekwonu, their left tackle, who was a first-round pick a couple of years ago. His rookie season, he was fine. I don't think there was any really question going into year two, and it just regressed in a major way. They had some injuries along the interior of the offensive line. So it was a mess. And I know for Bryce, that clearly had to have an impact on him. And I think you saw it take its toll, or even when the O-line wasn't bad, he's just kind of waiting for the pressure to come and not making the right decisions. Now, again, the first two games this year, the offensive line has not been a problem for the Carolina Panthers. They have been doing their job. Mm-hmm. But last year, yes, it was a mess for the Carolina Panthers. You know, Bradley Bozeman, who left and he signed with the Chargers, he was the center here last year. He had a miserable year. They moved Austin Corbett now to center. He's been good through the first 2 weeks. Taylor Moten, the right tackle, he's been here for a long time. Yeah. He's always solid. And then mentioned earlier, they spent $150 million on Damian Lewis and Robert Hunt at the guard position. So it is a better unit now. Is that going to slow down Max Crosby? That remains to be seen. But it is a unit that at least you go into a football game and you're not thinking, hey, you're going to lose that game because of him or because of them.
Bobby, we all understand that the end of ownership for Jerry Richardson, it went sideways in Carolina. A lot of, you know, stuff going on there. And here comes David Tepper, buys the Carolina Panthers from the Richardson family. And I think I lost count. I think it's six head coaches since 2018. Just bad decisions after bad decisions. And he doesn't help himself in the public relations department with some of his antics. We've seen some of the videos that are out there. You know, how does that get turned around, or can it get turned around, or is this past the point of no return for Tepper? How does he get back into the good graces, especially with you know, Carolina Panther fans who have probably lost a lot of confidence at the ownership level?
There's no doubt. I mean, there was fans with trash bags on their heads this past Sunday against the Chargers, and that's week two of the second quarter of your first home game is where fans are at this point. And look, I can say one name, and that can make you all connect to what people think here of David Tepper. That's Daniel Snyder. That's where conversation
not
is
good
with him as the owner. Look, his first year, he came in after Jerry Richardson, and everyone knows the stories. You don't just Google it, you can find it out. Mm-hmm. And he was out kissing babies, tailgating, drinking beer with fans, and everybody loved him.
Right.
But then, you know, the first sign of issues came up, and every single thing he does the wrong thing. There's a lot of people that have left that organization that have been there a while because they didn't want to work for him anymore. Obviously, you see the coaching turnover that goes on a regular basis. They had natural grass at the stadium. They ripped that up to bring in artificial turf, yet they'll bring in European soccer teams, and they'll bring back in the natural grass. That doesn't happen. Like, players are happy about that. It's just one thing after another. He's involved in everything, and he has been. Now, he's been a little bit more quiet this year, and I really don't know at this point how involved he was in the Bryce Young benching. Clearly, he had to have been known about it, but I'm sure you guys saw there was a local restaurant here in Charlotte that had a sign that on draft night telling Tepper to stay out of the draft room, basically. And he pulled into that restaurant, went inside, and a guy had a hat on of some other team. I don't remember what.
No.
Took the hat off the guy's head. So it is all just, it's bad. But I think for everybody in sports, you win, right? You'll probably move past that, and we'll be okay about it. I just don't know when that is going to happen. The key thing we've said probably the last few weeks is it can't get any worse.
Wasn't
yet it seems to get get worse every week.
Wasn't he a big part of drafting Bryce Young? I remember kind of watching that from afar after the Panthers, you know, traded up to number one. Then they went about trying to figure out who was going to be number one. And if I remember correctly, the owner played a pretty big role in drafting Bryce Young. Am I wrong?
No, you're 100% right. There's no doubt in that. There's the famous press conference they had after drafting Bryce. And then somebody asked about, you know, the weapons at wide receiver, because if you look last year, the Panthers wide receiver core was not very good. And David Tepper, like, legit interrupted the press conference. He was off to the side and goes, you know, Bryce, it's like a point guard. You know, he can distribute to whoever that is out there and make that happen. And as we all know, that was a massive fail. He's been involved in everything going on in this organization, and it has driven people up a wall right now of where we see Tepper and his involvement. And go back to the draft. I remember C.J. Stroud, when they were at his pro day, and Josh McCown, who was Panthers QB coach last year. I mean, he was all about Stroud and, you know, talking about, hey, we're going to play basketball in Charlotte together and all this stuff. So I think there was belief. And everyone talked about Frank Reich, and he's a quarterback guy. Well, go look at all the quarterbacks he worked with. They're all C.J. Stroud.
Yep, you know, exactly.
And all that. No one was in the Bryce Young realm. So I think that was a David Tepper thing, and I don't know if Frank Reich ever bought in, and I'm sure Frank Reich's probably the happiest guy now collecting his check, not having to be here.
Yeah.
Bobby Brzezinski, you give us a lot of stuff, man, and really enjoy your work. You're the great host of The Rush 730 on 730 The Game in Charlotte ESPN. Thank you again for making time for us today, and we look forward to talking again down the road, man.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. Bobby Brzezinski, wow. That was a very insightful, very open conversation, and even to the point where, you know, when, here's the thing, like, fans will get so upset at ownership that they start, you know, doing like the desperate sell the team, you know, trying to get somebody to get some new blood in there. But billionaire owners don't do that. They don't get up off their stuff. Well, now, in Detroit, they actually had a changing of the guard, not to sell the team, but other family members got involved to help make decisions, and they started going in the right direction. I wonder if Dave will ever get to that point.
I don't know. It sounds like he has a pretty big healthy ego. And as Bobby said, he's done everything wrong at every turn, and we could see it. What are we, 3,000 miles away? I don't know where we are in Nevada compared to Charlotte, but it's over 2,000 miles away, well over 2,000 miles away, and we can see it. And the Carolina Panthers, mid '90s, you know, they came out on the scene. That's a nice, proud fan base down there. It's a they put on a good show. Yeah. It's a great part of
with
the country.
With Sam Mills, they started winning right away.
Right. They've typically done it the right way historically. They've had their down years, but they've been a really, you know, a good organization. And now, if I was a Carolina Panther fan, based on what I've seen from David Tepper, I have no confidence in that whatsoever. And, you know, him meddling in the decision to get the quarterback, because, as Bobby said, if you were to talk to Frank Reich now, I'm pretty sure he preferred C.J. Stroud. As the quarterback coach, Josh McGowan did as well. And the owner fell in love with Bryce Young. And I don't have anything against Bryce Young. I was very high on Bryce Young coming into the draft last year. I personally preferred C.J. Stroud. I just thought he was a great prospect and a great thrower of the football, and stood in the pocket and made plays with his arm. I just felt like he was the better prospect. But I can't also – I'm not going to sit here and say that I didn't like Bryce Young. That would be untruthful. But they had a chance to draft the better quarterback, I believe, going into the draft, and the owner kicked everyone to the side and said, I'm going to make this decision. And that's usually when you're going to run into some problems. And they certainly have. And it really sounds like, based on what Bobby was just talking about, where this is the end for Bryce Young. Now, if I'm – a team, you know, maybe even here in Las Vegas, you wonder, okay, is it worth maybe, you know, seeing what it would take to bring a young prospect,
yeah, kicking
in
the
like
can
that.
On something now, like that, right?
Yeah, there are warts. He hasn't played well, and the benching was justified. And you know, we there's shared blame. The organization has let him down, but. You know, when you got guys like Adam Thielen throwing his helmet down, you know why he's doing it, because you know his understanding of football. He understands that plays were being left on the field. It wasn't just bad blocking. It wasn't just the bad organization. Bryce was just not making plays, and that was apparent for a guy like Adam Thielen to express his frustration that much. So it was the right move to do what they've done. But I still think that there's a future potentially for Bryce Young, and I'd hate to see it short-circuited after 18 games. And if you're the Carolina Panthers, as we brought up, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, you had credible answers in your building, in your grasp. You gave up a lot to get Sam Darnold, and you just kick him to the curb, in 5 minutes. And then Baker Mayfield barely lasted there, and you're cutting him. Man, you didn't get anything
for him. It's interesting. Scott Turner, who's the Raiders passing game coordinator, was part of that system in Carolina at that time. I wonder what was going on, because there were so many different things being said, and next thing you know, everyone gets flushed out, not just players, but coaches as well. So it's like, was it just too temperamental of ownership to hold on and be patient with people? That's interesting. Or just being forced at the hand, the general managers have to make moves.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't know where all of that blame lies, but you know, they've been pretty hasty in moving on from quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I asked Bobby, like, Like, is there any lesson learned from that in the Bryce Young situation, especially? Like, it's hard for me to believe that they're just going to walk away from him right now and get pennies on the dollar, which is what they're going to get if they trade him. After giving up everything that they gave up to get him, that was a Pirates booty that they gave up to move up from, I think it was number 11 or 12, somewhere in you know, somewhere there. I have to go back.
And then, like he said, you're watching the Chicago Bears enjoying all the draft picks and the return on investment. And yet,
and including the top pick in the draft.
And Bryce Young just turned 23 in July.
Right. No, he's a kid.
Yeah. There's time left.
Right. Exactly. So I don't know. I don't know where the Panthers go from here.
But Bobby's thinking like they're already thinking about something else now.
Right.
Like they've already turned their back on him.
And look, the coach didn't draft him. So,
true.
You know, and the last thing that you ever want to do is create a situation where you're force feeding a quarterback on a coach that is pretty highly regarded, is known as a quarterback whisperer, including Baker Mayfield with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He helped get him turned around along with Sean McVay. The short period of time that Baker spent in Los Angeles, I think, did him wonders. But if that the coach is basically, maybe, I don't know, I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but giving up on Bryce Young, or at the very least sees cause for, this is not working, we got to go in a different direction here. So if he has, let's just say, let's just argue that Dave Canales has said, like, I don't believe in him. And the owner comes back and says, well, you're going to have to still make it work. That's not going to be a good situation.
No, and that makes
we've seen that. Jeff Fisher and Vince Young. He didn't want to draft Vince Young. The owner fell in love with Vince Young, and it created just the worst possible scenario. And nobody's right or wrong in that situation. Jeff Fisher just, that's not who, you know, I'm the coach of the team and you're force feeding a quarterback on me. And it just created this terrible situation for everybody involved. So you can't go down that path either if Canales has given up on Bryce Young.
702-365-9200 is the number. You can reach us here on both the text line and phones. We'll take calls coming up next here on R&R 920 AM. That's us on X here on Raider Nation Radio. Also, don't forget Chickies and Pete's tonight over for Thursday Night Football. It'll be awesome. Patriots, Jets, they're going to have a special Maine lobster and New York strip steak special. Join us tonight out there from 5 to 8 with great prizes.
Still getting me hungry, Clay.
It's not fair.
I know, but it's for a good reason. Hey, are you in a position right now, or a predicament, I should say, where you need some extra cash like today or tomorrow? And maybe it's $500 to $5,000 that you just don't know where you're going to come up with. Maybe a bill hits you out of nowhere, or maybe you got a big trip coming, whatever. You need $500 to $5,000 and the credit cards are maxed out. Maybe the credit's not where it needs to be. And maybe you're losing some sleep over all this. Don't, please, I beg of you. Because the experts over at LendingStore.com for over 20 years have helped millions of people who needed cash quickly, and all credit types are welcome. Now cash is as close as your phone and as soon as tomorrow. When you need cash, you need it now. So why wait? Here's what you do. Go to LendingStore.com. Have their experts help you find a lender that can get you that $500 to $5,000 that you need in your bank account as early as tomorrow. Just go to LendingStore.com for all the details.
Yeah, we all look at the standings each and every week, and there's shockers each and every week. I know last week it was us, right? And we don't want to be on that headline. And then the only thing we can worry about and control is us. And we need to do a better job of being detailed, and that's what we're doing. That's what we're talking about this week, is attention to details. We got enough film, 122 snaps on offense, 123 on defense, almost 50 on special teams. We got enough film to grade and fix all those little miscues. We're not reinventing the wheel this week, right? We're running our stuff. And at some point, you got to do the little things right more than the other two.
Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce here on Raider Nation Radio, the morning tailgate. Closing out hour number three here shortly. You know, I think that's a fascinating take, because when I talk about, you know, this feels like just everything is lined up for the silver and black, right? Everything is just kind of lined up for the up and to the right.
Yeah.
It's even more so prevalent for the fact that the Raiders are going into this as everyone's going to pick them. The fact that they just came out of a game where it was the opposite, so they understand anybody can beat anybody. Like, it's fresh in their mind. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that detail is going to be lost on them when they kick the ball off 105 at Allegiant Stadium on Sunday. They're knowing, hey, we just did it. They're trying to do what we did. This isn't 4 weeks removed from, you know, an upset victory and, you know, you're feeling yourself kind of thing. You still have that chip on your shoulder a little bit.
You do, and this is just me talking. I'm not, you know, the players I know don't share this at all. But it does feel a little odd to me that this is to me an apples and oranges. All right, like any team can beat anybody. We get that. We understand it. But I don't feel like that was the case on Sunday against the Ravens.
Yeah,
I firmly believe the Raiders are a damn good football team if they can get what they're getting from their quarterback right now. Add the run game to it. There's reason actually to believe that they're going to start playing better. There's a lot of room for growth, and it's not like grasping at straws. You figure that the running game is going to get better, and you figure more players are going to start getting involved offensively, and that's going to make the offensive operation better and more consistent. Whereas this is a classic. You don't want to fall into that anybody can beat anybody, because the Raiders are just the vastly superior team than the Carolina Panthers. I look at the Ravens. Obviously, they've got the reigning MVP at quarterback, but their defense, I think the Raiders' defense is on par with the Ravens' defense. Yeah. I think weapons-wise, the Raiders have more weapons than the Baltimore Ravens.
And that's where I think the disparity comes in. I think that's where the disparity comes in, because I think the talk was leading into week two, right, was – you know, the Ravens are the favorite, preemptive favorite, but there's a path to victory for the Raiders. You have a game breaker in Davante Adams. Brock Bowers is still an unknown, so I'm not even going to talk about him, but you had Max Crosby on the other side. You had a vaunted defense that showed in week one they're a very good defense. So there could be wiggle room. When you look at this game, and it would take
the Raiders playing terrible football to lose this game.
It would be. It's hard to say this because you don't want to disrespect another team get paid too. But when you look at the Carolina Panthers, the first name that comes to your mind with the Carolina Panthers at this point in their stage was, well, Bryce Young could finally pop off. Bryce Young ain't playing now. Like, who's the guy over there that you're saying, man, he could be the difference? That's kind of where
this
what
is
I'm
a
looking
team
at.
That's finished with the worst record. Not the worst record in 2 years in a row, but last year they had the worst
record.
That's
what I mean. Like, Carolina does not have the type of top-end talent where you're like, game record, game changer, that's the reason they're going to win this game.
Right.
The Raiders have that, and they have multiple players. On both sides of the ball. So that's why, to me, the disparity is so large comparing what the Raiders did in Baltimore week two compared to what Carolina could do week three in Las Vegas.
And it's not even, to me, an argument of what Carolina could do. It's what the Raiders
it would be an ultimate self-destruction.
Exactly.
It would be an ultimate self-destruction.
Like, even if you look at the Baltimore Ravens and the Raiders last week, it didn't require a self-destruction by the Baltimore Ravens for the Raiders to win that game.
Right.
And it never did to me. It required the Raiders taking care of business and a dominant defense shutting down one of the best players in the game, which they're fully capable of doing. Lamar Jackson, like, we can't sit here and say he played an awful game, right? It was more the Raiders' defense just played a really good game against him and took a lot of things away from him.
That's a good point. And that's not being talked enough about. Lamar Jackson did not play a bad game.
No. It was just
an MVP eye-popping game?
No, because the Raiders, right?
I think that, again, 1 week is you're not going to carry over everything from 1 week to the next. That being said, again, here on this show, that's why at the top of the tailgate, I asked, am I missing something? Like, is the disparity not what it should be?
I guess, is it 5.5 points? That's significant, right?
In the NFL, it's very difficult to win by multiple scores, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's... That is not an easy thing to do.
No. The average margin falls between 3 and 4 points.
Right.
Which is why the disparity when they were 9.5 point dogs in week two was like, what are we missing
here?
Yeah,
that was ridiculous. And here's the thing, you know, to me the Raiders can play better. You can't carry over.
But there's meat on the bone.
Forget carrying over. They can play. It's absolutely within their power to play better. And there's key components that we can point to say that can be better, and there's a good reason to believe it will be better.
Out to the phones, going through the Appalachian Trail, the Carolinas. It's Snake Man. Good morning to you, sir. Snake, are you there? Snake has to use the 10-10-220 line.
He's scissoring.
10 cents in the line. At the base of Mount Hood, Raider Mike coming in loud and proud.
Hey, guys.
Morning.
Great and weird show, Pizarms. Oh, you're talking weird Missile Command, Space Invaders. Dude, I set the world record for asteroids.
No way.
He's an asteroid world champion.
No way.
Oh, yeah, I did. I'm still number 11 in the world. That's no BS, bro.
That's amazing.
It's there. It's on the records.
Anyway, you get to Maryland, Vinny, you got to dump a whole crate of crabs on a table and just go nuts.
Oh, I love that. Yes, now we're talking.
It's the best thing in the world to do.
Yes.
If you go there, and don't forget Dominic's. His name ends with a K, but he is Sicilian.
Love Dominic. Anyway, love the name. Dom.
Dom, he's been around. My dad found me when I was 9 or 10.
He found you?
He went to war.
Oh,
and my mom divorced him because the CIA.
Oh, this is a okay. Go.
Took him out. He was a fighter pilot, and then the CIA said, "You're going to go do this weird crap," and I can't expound on that. But yeah, he said, "No, that's my son. He's going to visit every summer here in Maryland," and eventually, I moved in my senior year there. Went to college there, high school. I even played in a state championship there. So
nice.
Anyway, I'm deep into Maryland. All my friends and family are Ravens. And that was the sweetest victory I've seen in a long, long time.
You had the last
and
laugh.
This talk of Carolina having a chance is pure insanity. That owner is horrifying.
Mm.
He's the next Daniel Snyder. The NFL is going to figure out how to get rid of him. Because, Vinny, you are right. I used to do corporate training, Fortune 500 company, all the time in Charlotte. Great fan base.
Oh, yeah.
Great people. They do not deserve that guy.
No.
At all. And you're throwing Andy Dalton at me? 15-year vet? And that's all you got? Because I can't name one player on your offense or defense. Other than Brian Burns, he's a commander, right?
He's with the Giants.
You see what I mean?
Adam Thielen,
it's
baby.
It's going to feast on them, Vinny. It's going to be spectacular. And if you can give 5.5, you better be flying down to the D, the Sahara, wherever you want to go. And bet that money.
All right, give us a good one, Mike.
God.
I dated a girl whose dad was in the CIA.
Can't talk about it.
Scary, scary stuff. He would just disappear for weeks. Libya or something like that. Seriously.
I knew a girl and I heard she got transferred down to Texas and her dad was in the he was in intelligence, as it was referred, or just the agency. And there was a special number we could dial before we actually dialed the area code and phone number to talk to each other, because it was a government line and would just go to like his personal account. So it was free long distance back when it was like $10 a minute.
What are you doing this weekend? Oh, we're assassinating somebody in, you know, name some third world country.
That sounds terrifying.
We're just setting up a big coup.
702-365-9200 is the number.
Seriously.
We got Shriners tickets.
Think I'm kidding?
Shriners coming to Vegas. The PGA always hits out to TPC Summerlin. We have your tickets here for Shriners. You can go online and get yours at ShrinersChildrensOpen.com. These are for a two-pack for the 17th through the 20th here on Raider Nation Radio. Best golfers in the world. See you there at 702-365-9200. Thanks for being with us here on Raider Nation Radio. From the text line, 702-365-9200, brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center. Rob in Oakland says, "We'll fix the second half running defense by scoring TDs in the first half and throughout the game." Very nice observation there. I like that. And also, Steakman was able to get through. Sorry, man, your phone cut out on us. But he says, primarily, two players have played below expectations. That's Diablo and Miller. But that has
directly resulted in big plays for the opposing team. But otherwise, the team is beginning to show signs of massive improvement. Key pieces at all levels on offensive defense. But if you add Big Johnson, now I'm super stoked to watch our rookie guard blast some peeps. So the optimistic about JPJ getting his first career start, or at least getting a Okay.
I think you know, he's
meaningful reps at least.
In the game, he's starting.
Starting? Okay, that's good to know.
He's starting the game.
All right.
Let's not get it twisted here, for sure. I mean, unless something were to happen between now and then, I'd be shocked if he wasn't starting. They need him. I would you know, give some room for a little bit of rust. He hasn't played in a competitive football game since what?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they played their bowl, or they were in the – Oregon wasn't in the playoffs. So whatever bowl game they played in, that's a long time ago.
Yes, it is.
So you know, leave a little bit of room for that. But I think he's potentially a massive upgrade over what they currently have right now. And that's not to disparage anybody. It is what it is. This was a highly, highly regarded football player, a first team All-American, the best center in the country. Had he played guard last year, he probably would have been the best guard in the country. He's just one heck of a football player. And watch what they're going to be able to do with his athletic ability in terms of pulling him and getting him out in space, leading the run game. There's a lot of things you're going to be able to do that they haven't really been able to do simply because he's just such a really good football player, and it'll be exciting to see him in his debut on Sunday.
Vince, Vinny, and Clay back tomorrow for a Football Friday. It'll be awesome. We'll have Chris Thomas. We'll have Tim Murray. We'll also have a chance for you to win $300 in the Paul Pata Tailgate Pick'em. Fantastic. Get our show up online at lvsportsnetwork.com and also download the free app. It's free to use, free to download as well. LV Sports Network on your Apple Store or Google Play. We're out of time. Join me tonight at Thursday Night Football for Chickies and Pete's at the Sahara, where it's always free parking, food and drink specials. I'll have prizes from 5 to 8 right next to the William Hill Sportsbook. Special surf and turf specials because it's New England against New York. Maine Lobster, New York Strip Steak. Come and join me. Say hello, and we'll hang out for this game tonight. For Vinny, for Vince, I'm Clay. Have a great day, everybody. Rich Eisen, he's next here on Raider Nation Radio.